The National Center for Employee Ownership's annual EO Conference will be held April 29th through May 1st, 2024 in Tampa, Florida. Host Jesse Tyler is joined by four of the amazing team members at the NCO putting this event together. If you check out the show notes for this episode at www.ownertoownerpodcast.com, we'll have links to the annual conference homepage and registration information. Jesse Tyler will be in Tampa. If you're at the conference, be sure to say hello.
Welcome to the Owner to Owner Podcast with your host, Jesse Tyler, part of the EO Podcast Network.
Hey, listeners, it's great to have you back. Owner to Owner Podcast for the EO Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jesse Tyler. I've got a thing about employee ownership in all forms, a great enthusiasm, and I appreciate this way to reach you, share some voices, share some insights. We usually focus on the rank and file, frontline workers, the fixers, the makers, the doers, the breakers, with a mix of other different guests over time. Really like to give the National Center for Employee Ownership some support and time with their upcoming national conference in Tampa. So we have four folks here today, so we are going to jump right in just a moment. I'm recording this on vacation in beautiful state of Maine during a windstorm. So if there's some interesting little hiccups in the audio, we hope that adds to the authenticity from podcast being recorded across the country with all the folks here. So let's jump right in. We have Megan, Lindsay, Jamie, and Lauren from the NCEO. Megan, what is your role? What do you do for NCEO?
I am the events director at the NCEO, and what that means is I am Jamie's right hand and very in the weeds and in the small minute details of the NCEO's larger scale events, being the annual conference and the fall forum.
That's great. And your eyes lit up a little bit brighter just when you said the small, fine details. So it sounds like you are in the role that you should be in using your superpowers. That's awesome. Welcome aboard. Lindsay, who are you and what do you do for NCEO?
Hi, I'm Lindsay Isaac. I'm the Director of Education at the NCEO. My job, I do a lot of work with our content. So curating content, helping to create new resources through like our monthly download, to work with our ownership culture survey, peer networking. I teach our communications committee crash course. So kind of touch quite a bit. Hopefully love it.
Yeah. Known you over the years, you thrive with 11 hats and you keep inventing new ones, which is great. Extending the hat rack, which is super. Jamie's in the house. Jamie, who are you and what do you do for NCEO?
My name is Jamie Oviedo. I'm the Senior Director of Events here at the NCEO, and I have the awesome responsibility of stewarding every event that the NCEO does, overseeing the growth of both the portfolio, the offerings, and things that we're able to do for our members through our events, as well as helping grow the events team, which I'm incredibly passionate about.
That's great. That's great. And that's the focus of our session today, is to really give some insight. You have some loyal participants in your conferences and you've been growing your participation. You got a lot of momentum, but for employee owners who love going to conferences, it's just a fun opportunity to share a little bit of insight sort of behind the music of what it takes to pull all of that together and to keep reinventing yourself. As soon as you're done, you're already far down the road with the next conference and just sharing some of that insight that most employee owners and fans of NCEO don't get to see. And then we have Lauren. Lauren, what do you do for NCEO?
I am the executive director of the NCEO, which means I get to work with Megan and Jamie and Lindsay and everybody else on staff. It is the best job conceivable, not only because of my colleagues, but our members are just amazing people doing amazing things. And it's such a fascinating combination of watching people deal with technical problem solving issues and still dealing with kind of the heart, you know, the human side of employee ownership that I think lights the fire for all of us.
That's great. That's great. Let's go back around the loop with starting with Jamie. Kind of pick up where what Lauren brought in. It's like, what do you love about your job? No constraints. What do you love about what you do?
Oh, wow. I'm figuring that we're probably going to beat this like a dead horse here by the end here, Jesse, but you're probably going to hear this over and over. It's the team, it's the people, it's the colleagues that we get to work with as a primary function of the day in and the day out. I've never worked in an organization that's more supportive and uplifting through, you know, both what's in my job function as well as somebody else's. You will see somebody else at the NCEO drop every priority that they have to help you out and make sure that we're all successful. And then by way of that, we have the most amazing members, Jesse. It's truly amazing how fun it is to talk to these employee owners on the phone. And also, you'll work with somebody for so many years over email, and then, you know, you kind of get to go to the events and finally put faces to, you know, all these phone calls, all these emails that you had. Right. And it really just makes that moment so much more special. But yeah, it's a whole lot of awesome with a lot of awesome people.
That's great. That's great. Lindsay, what do you enjoy most? Lindsay with 11 hats, which if you picked one hat that you is your favorite hat, which one would you talk about today?
No, it's so hard to follow what Jamie and Lauren said, right? Just the big plus one to all of that. Like, just love working with this team. It's such an uplifting, inspiring, supportive team. And for me, like, I've experienced firsthand the benefit of employee ownership. And so finding more and more ways to help employee ownership thrive at our member companies is what I'm so excited about, and finding new ways to do it, new resources and new tools to help equip people to really get the most out of their employee ownership.
That's great. Thank you for that. And Megan, you're the fourth in the round, so you can like take this wherever you want to go. But is there something that really jumps out that you enjoy that hasn't been said that you want to add, or do you want any emotions you want to second?
Definitely seconding the love of the NCEO staff. That is a dead horse we will happily beat for now until eternity. Being able to work with Jamie every day and all of the NCEO staff, I am one of probably few people in the world that gets to enjoy their job so thoroughly. And rarely, if ever, do I wake up and go, oh, I don't want to go to work today. Something I really enjoy doing in my role, I love being behind the scenes. I don't want to be up on stage taking credit for anything. And so I really enjoy being able to be in the background doing all of the very small details that go into putting on the conference and the fall forum. So when you're seeing the very small sponsor activations on site at any of our events, that's me spending hours doing research on cups and bowls and customization and getting colors right. And I deeply enjoy that aspect of my role. And at the end of the day, I have to sit back and go, wow, my job is very weird. Like, nobody else, how many people are sitting there going and analyzing the length of a straw or the width of a straw for an hour and a half in a day, or asking vendors, hey, what's your ice cream cone provider? Can you get that information for me? And so realizing how special and unique my job is on top of getting to work with the NCEO staff is the greatest privilege every day.
That's great. That's great. And then I'm smiling in part because you remind me of some of my teammates, my co-workers, co-owners at Hypotherm that are either engineers or in procurement that just absolutely love what they do. So you ever visit us in New Hampshire sometime, I can think of a few people you would enjoy spending time with that totally would groove on that. All right, let's get into the conference. What does it take? So Jamie, and I'll kind of go back and forth between Jamie and Megan for a couple questions, and then we'll go to Lindsay on the curriculum. So Jamie, it's a big question. Sent this to you ahead of time so you could have a running start and think about it. What's your process for planning one of these huge conferences? Where do you start?
Yeah, this is a hard to nail down in a short answer, Jesse, because the road to a conference starts anywhere between 6 and 4 years prior to the event ever happening. Over the past 40 years, the conference has grown organically from like, let's get our community, our small community of members together, to this massive, massive community statement that goes into, you know, a US city and completely takes over the entire footprint of a downtown area. So, I mean, we are sourcing housing, we are sourcing meeting space, event space, not just in a convention center and not in the surrounding hotels as well, but we have to really make sure that the city is a good fit for us. From how many direct flights does the airport have? How fast is the commute time between the airport and where the actual event spaces will take place? Can the city even really fit a group of our size? There's huge considerations that take years of planning prior to us ever setting foot in the city as a group itself. And then approximately 18 months prior to the event itself is really when we start to dive in and say, hey, what are the educational needs of our members? How can we best serve the employee ownership community? You know, 1.5 to 2 years from now, it really forces us to sit down and think about what challenges, what solutions we're going to overcome in, you know, in the future, and what those educational offerings will really look like. And that's when we, when Megan really gets to shine, is we start digging into the details and what it's going to look like. You know, how many meeting rooms do we need in the convention center? Do we need 20? Do we need 35? How are we going to set those rooms up? How many tables do we need? How many chairs do we need? What color are the linens? And that's just the meeting space itself. That doesn't really talk about, you know, when we start our call for speakers, which is about 7 to 8 months prior to the event. So we start to think about designing the educational experience and working very closely with Lindsay to outline everything that we are going to conquer, establish, and solve as a community when we come together for an event time. There's, I don't know, if I were to put a number on it, probably about 300 to 400 hours of marketing, design, prep that go into getting an event like this off the ground. It is a huge undertaking, and it's a huge privilege to do this hard work and then get to the event and see so many happy people. That's the true reward, right? Like, the journey is putting together the event, and yeah, the event is the reward for all your hard work.
Yeah, that's great. Because I wanted to ask you this, because I don't know that most people know and appreciate it. And you know, it's great when you go to one of your conferences. It's smooth, it's easy, it's warm, it's welcoming. A village pops up, now a small city pops up, all of that. But I just thought it would be really interesting that, you know, it's years ahead that you're already laying the kind of the planning. But then, you know, even a year and a half with some of the topics. I just thought that was really interesting chatting with you informally. So, Megan, you got some of the logistics down, you know where you're going to land, you're starting to get towards topics. How in the world do you wrangle that? Like, how do you, is it sort of people requesting things, or you guys have an idea? Like, what's your starting point, just for listeners to get some insight?
Both and I think Jamie and Lauren will be valuable people to jump in here and add more color. People will present topics to us that they've done at other events that they've had come up in the last couple months. And that is kind of where our call for speakers start, is people will come to our call for speakers proposals and say, here's what I think is a good topic. And they'll come to it with maybe all of it fleshed out. Some have very little of it fleshed out. And we are simultaneously going, what topics haven't we spoken about recently? What are things that have come up in the community that need to be discussed, that we need to offer a session on, or developing a new track that is a unique offering for attendees that Lindsay can dive into? And so it's kind of a simultaneous collaboration without speakers knowing it, of us going, we need XYZ topic, and then presenting A, B, and C. And then we spend about a month to 6 weeks kind of mind melding and going through every individual session proposal and seeing, is it fitting our needs and the audience's needs? Is it something unique? Is it a topic that hasn't been discussed? We try to avoid copy pasting, reusing content every year, because we want to make every conference a unique experience for attendees so that they're getting something new every year. And so it's very much a collaboration, especially with Corey and Lindsay and Lauren, really kind of dredging up the bottoms of the community and seeing what topics are on the forefront of everybody's mind, but also what's been forgotten about, what's fallen through the cracks that we need to kind of dredge back up and bring to the forefront. And so the more unique offerings that people propose, the better. We love seeing something unique that's interactive, and that certainly kind of sends a tingle down all of us of, ooh, that's exciting. I can't wait to see how this will turn out. And then it goes back to the logistics of Jamie and I trying to fit everything into a gauge how popular a session will be and put it in the biggest room possible, and the puzzle that is the logistics of room planning. So Jamie, Lauren, if I forgot anything there, feel free to elaborate.
Yeah. Lauren, what are your thoughts from your experience with this? And because I know you're highly collaborative, you know, in your role with the team. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I think Megan Nailed it. That's exactly right. It's like we spend a huge amount of time thinking about what the conference needs, and then we ask all these people to give us brand new proposals that they've never presented anywhere. And then we all get to look through all of those, and it's like Christmas morning. I mean, all these fabulous ideas come our way, and it is such a privilege to see the really cool, innovative thinking that comes from employee-owned companies and from service providers. Yeah, Megan nailed it.
That's great. So, Jamie, you introduced some insight into the multi-year process and then the logistics. Now, just your view on that process of winnowing down to those presenters. What are some things that you want to share with the listeners, just some insights or your experience with that process?
Jesse, I'm so glad that you asked this. I've really started to notice a trend in the event space, but very specifically in our community of employee ownership events, is the need for departure from a presenter-led conference experience. It can become, I mean, the conference itself, just based surely on the size that it currently is right now, is and can be very intimidating. And then you're going to take that and you're going to multiply it over 2 to 3 days. Now do that and insert your traditional presenter-led type of session can really kind of melt your brain, right? So we have really kind of gone out to the community, the employee-owned company members, the service providers, and asked them to uniquely come up with an engaging format, something that is more of an interactive style, something that is a workshop, something that the presenter is moving around the room, moving around the space, asking questions, getting folks to continue to think about these different use cases in their business as it pertains to the topic that's being presented, and produce a different type of session that the employee owner can really go back to their company and immediately put into use.
That's fantastic. You can see that focus that of what you do. It's lively. It's fun when walking down the hall at a conference and you hear loud crowd reactions or interaction and laughter coming out of an active session. That's a very healthy sign of, you know, that goal and intention. So I appreciate your calling that out. What makes the conferences really memorable? If you can go back and use something, what can I apply? You know, I can't wait to share this. I have to let somebody know before I even get home to share it. That sort of idea with the things that are built together, which is great. So a big one for Tampa is a learning curriculum. So I'd like to tag Lindsay back in to share a little bit about that. What are some insights you can share? What are you excited most about with this for the Tampa conference, Lindsay?
Yeah, thanks, Jesse. So as you mentioned, we're having a new conference track this year. It's called Building an ESOP Education Curriculum. This is something that stemmed out of like so many calls we've had with other, you know, ESOP companies. And just it's clear that like a challenge people have is figuring out what to talk about, how to talk about it, when to talk about all these things, and bringing your employee owners up to speed. And so what we wanted to do was really design a track that's focused on building solutions for this. So a track that will allow people to go through and actually help get concrete resources to build that education curriculum back at your company. So how do you talk about employee ownership? What are best practices with that? How do you teach people how to think and act like an employee owner? Financial literacy education, what does that look like? What are some tangible things that you can be explaining and teaching? And so the idea is that this cohesive track, attendees will have really concrete curriculum, set of resources to bring back directly to their company and implement. So we're really excited about this and kind of the networking opportunities it'll create as well for like-minded companies. So
yeah, it's very cool because you can't tell culture. People have to experience it. And then you have people with a lot of tenure, often at employee-owned companies. So people are happier, healthier, and stay a lot longer. And so then you have new people come in. They're curious about this mysterious bright light of ownership, but how do you help them make it real? How do you help them make their own? And so that you have this whole plan for this is just really, really cool. It's going to help new ESOPs, new employee-owned companies get up to speed faster, but it's also going to help some of the more seasoned ones get fresh legs, get fresh energy, and have some very helpful technique from you and your team, which is great. So Lauren, with limited time before you have to step out, what are your thoughts on the learning curriculum? And then what are you most excited about with Tampa before you go? So starting with the learning curriculum. So share a little bit about what's your view on the learning curriculum? Because I know you're really excited about this.
I am really excited about this. It seems like one of the themes running through a lot of what we do is that we're really aimed at solutions, and what Jamie and Megan and Lindsay all just said are along those lines. It seems like the curriculum is a kind of a perfect example of that, because people are really going to leave not just with getting all the way from having no idea how to start teaching people about an ESOP all the way to having a really well worked out plan and a cohort of people from other companies that can sort of walk down that path with them as they're building their own curriculum. And so I think that solutions is just great. Our community is so hungry and so willing to share solutions with each other. We're lucky. The curriculum's a great example, but you know, if you're looking to build an effective board of directors or anything else, there are lots of concrete solutions there.
That's great.
I guess the other thing that really strikes me is that the conference is a community gathering. You know, it's kind of joyful in a way that I think feels really good. And that joy comes from people swapping cool ideas with each other. And then you know, we've built a lot more. And Lindsay and Jamie and Megan have all been at the heart of this, but building networks of people that meet online. So we'll hope that's going to sort of keep spinning the flywheel and make this community feeling even stronger at the conference. Because there's, oh, Jesse, I mean, you see this in the sessions you run. There's this like magic moment when a member and a member swap ideas and they each get this like simultaneous light bulb going. It's kind of great.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely leave with community. It would be a strange goal to try not to leave with community, but if somebody had that odd goal, I don't think they'd be successful. You just keep meeting people and mixing. And again, with the way Jamie, Megan, I guess all of you as an organization want to have the interaction, want to have the community building, making it real, meeting peers. It's just a very rich experience. All right. I appreciate that. So what are you?
Yeah. Oh, actually one last thing before I wrap, Jesse. And I know that one part of that community, it's employee owners talking to employee owners, but we are so lucky to have the amazing service providers we've got in this field. They're an essential part of this community. We're so lucky with the other nonprofits that come to our event. This is a collaborative field between the NCEO and dozens of other nonprofit organizations that support employee ownership. We love working with them. And all this kind of combines, I think, to create an environment where the companies who aren't yet employee owned, they show up thinking, you know, maybe this is a good idea. I'm curious. And by the time they leave, they're like, I want me some of that. I mean, that's what I want my company to be like. So I think that what Jamie and Megan have put together here with this event and all the speakers and everybody, it's a way for people to get started off on the right foot with becoming employee owned.
Yeah, that's great. And I appreciate you calling out the service providers and the other nonprofits. So I think the NCO is kind of like an ownership hub and it's got a very broad reach. So that's great that you gave that a shout out. So before you head out, I know this is not a fair question, but what are you most excited about for Tampa? What has you jazzed?
Oh, Jesse, it's not a fair question. And I'm going to give you an unfair answer too, which is that I've got something I am just aching to tease right now and I can't yet. We've got some cool new resources coming up and we've got some, let's say, a mystery speaker. So I think people have some awesome surprises.
Well played. You teased the teaser. Yeah. That's great. All right. Well, thanks for making time today. I want to keep going with Lindsay, Megan, and Jamie a little bit more. But we'll see you in Tampa.
Thanks, Lauren. Thanks for having us, Jesse.
Okay. All right. Megan, I'm going to come back to you because you were the fourth one on that early question. You get to go first here. What are some behind the scenes insights about the Tampa conference you'd like to share? So something you can share where Lauren on that one clearly could not. Is there something that something behind the scenes, something particular that you've been thinking about, you think is going to be really cool?
I have spent the last day and a half really focused on smoothies for the Tampa conference. And Jamie's already laughing because I've sent some very unhinged questions to her. We do have a smoothie sponsorship and we are actually incorporating more and more experiential sponsorships into our conferences so that sponsors are not only getting their brand out there, but also attendees are not just getting a swag item. It's a experience of a ice cream social break or a smoothie sponsorship or coffee at every corner at all hours of the day. So I'm looking forward to seeing the smoothie sponsorship come together because I've spent way too much time looking into the cups, getting the cups branded appropriately. What are the heights of the cups? What's the proportionate straw length to said cup? How thick should the the straw be emailing the convention center asking about the consistency of their smoothie material? Like, what?
You people are intense.
Oh, there's a lot that goes into this. Spending way too much time looking at the different diameters of a straw, and that there's a milk straw versus a jumbo straw versus a boba straw versus one that has a spoon on the end, like a 7-Eleven Slurpee straw. So being able to see that come all together and go, okay, the straws work. Everybody can sip their smoothie seamlessly through the straw without the straw collapsing. And that the straw is proportionate to the height of the cup with the lid. Like, that is where I think once that sponsorship happens in Tampa, I will be like, this event's a success. I can go home now. But that is something I'm very much looking forward to, that I'm sure everybody in Tampa is just going to be like, oh, cool, a smoothie, and have zero idea of how much time I spent agonizing over this.
Well, I think the attention to detail, I think it's a fun example, but the attention to detail, I have three coworkers coming that haven't been to an NCO conference before, and just telling them how smooth and thoughtful, I guess smoothie now, but smooth and thoughtful, all the attention to detail makes a huge difference. We can relax, network, and learn. It's really what it's, you know, it's about. So that's a good example to share of the care taken to the customer experience. Jamie, what's something kind of behind the scenes that you've been thinking about having fun with, whether it's logistics or topics? You know, what's something that you're jazzed about? You're a couple years into throwing this party soon. What are you jazzed about?
This is too hard of a question to narrow in on just one thing. So I'm going to pick three short things. I'm going to piggyback on Megan a little bit and kind of look back to, you know, what it takes to plan an event of this magnitude. Fun fact about the employee ownership community that you may not know, Jesse, is that the people that attend the annual employee ownership conference drink twice the average amount of coffee in a convention center. I try to explain this to banquets and catering teams when we go into large venues, and they think, all right, sure. But it's interesting to come back, you know, with a report from the previous year on our consumption and really show we actually do drink two times the national average amount of coffee at any type of event like this. So we are super, super excited to be, you know, supported by so many service providers that can make these types of experiences possible at this conference. So that's something we're super excited this year. Coffee will be all the time, every minute of the day. The other thing that I'm really super excited about at this particular iteration of the conference, and this is the first time we've ever done it in the 42-year history of the event, is we're going to be doing on Monday to kick off the conference, on Monday morning, April 29th, we're going to be doing a 5K fun run at sunrise in and around the Tampa Riverwalk. This will be self-supported, so kind of think more on the fun run side versus your competitive 5K side. 6 to 7 a.m., we're going to start on the north side of the Tampa Convention Center, and we're going to go along Bayshore Drive. Just a nice, gentle out and back. You'll have some police officer support out there just to make sure it's all legitimate. But, you know, bring together a community this large, we have a lot of different objectives and priorities. And so it's been on somebody in the event's wish list for quite a few years now, and I've put it off. But this year, we're going to do that. One of the other big objectives that I had personally for the event this year is finding a way to honor every single member company that attends the event, every single employee owner that takes time out of their busy work schedule to leave their family and to come and gather and learn and grow and connect with us over a 3-day period. I'm not going to tell you the full scope of what we're doing to honor, but it's going to be big. That's all great. That I'm going to say on that. And we're excited to make it to come to life for all of our members in Tampa.
That's great. That's great. And I love the sunrise run. That's super. Just get everyone together. Hey, how's it going? Hey, have you met? And have a little bit. That's fantastic. All right, Lindsay, what are you jazzed about for Tampa? What's on your mind? You're welcome to have one or three or whatever works. What's on your mind?
I know, the whole thing, right? Like, just so jazzed about this conference. I mean, going back to the ESOP education curriculum, this is the first conference that I've really had so much input on the agenda setting and helping to create this new track. So I'm really excited about seeing this come to life and about the speakers that are really helping to to build the content and put together a great track for people. And then the other side of it is just reconnecting with the employee ownership community and meeting new people. It doesn't seem to matter like how much time goes by between these meetings. Every time you see a face that's familiar, it's just like connecting with an old friend. It's great. And so I'm just, excited to have that connection, in-person connection, and see people I've known for a long time and meet so many new people. So.
That's great. Well, I hope for listeners that this was helpful to get a little bit of insight, but hear the voices of the folks that pull this off. All Lindsay and Jamie and Megan are very humble, are constantly caught giving each other credit instead of taking any of their own. So I hope that you got a little sense of their superpowers and their dedication to make this flow. And we're looking forward to seeing everybody in Tampa. And we hope that this conversation can shed a little bit of insight and give you some things to think about before we get together for the NCO National Conference. So thank you to Megan, Lindsay, and Jamie. I know you got to get back to it's go time and I need to let you go. So thank you very much for participating. Really appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you in April. And for listeners, again, this is Jesse Tyler for the Owner to Owner podcast. We've had growing listenership. We really appreciate it. Love to have new voices and hear the folks that do the work. And so we hope today was a little bit off of the usual format, but it was still the spirit of the folks that make things happen. So again, this is for the EO Podcast Network through a friendship with Brett Kiesling. Thanks for listening.
We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook at EO Podcast Network and on Twitter at ESOP Podcast. This podcast has been produced by Brett Kiesling for the EO Podcast Network. Original music composed by Max Kiesling. Branding and marketing by Bitsy Plus Design. And I'm Bitsy McCann.